What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I feel very good about what we did. And of course, there's always more that you want to do. You know, there's always, if you can draw it up perfectly, there's five more things that we would have found. Well, this is really the right price for this. And we believe that we're really getting value back, and it's taking us even another step closer to the team we want. There's always more things like that that you want to do. So I feel really good about the things we did do. I do believe we put ourselves in a stronger position, going into August to September and the off season. And of course there was more that we wished we could have done. And we're just going to have to get back to that, in November.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. That's Ben Cherington saying, I feel really good about the things we did.
That makes one person.
Almost the entire Pirates fan base disagrees with that. Most people who cover baseball do as well. Yahoo gave them an F+.
I like
trade
that.
Deadline.
I like an F+. I like somebody just changing it up. Not just an F or an F. We've all seen F and F-. I like F+.
CBS went with a D, CBS Sports. ESPN gave the trade deadline a C-. And Jim Bowden, who was a GM with the Reds and Nationals, also worked in the Pirates front office and was roommates with Bob Pompiani at Point Park.
He's athletic now, right?
Yep.
What'd he give him?
And not the best fantasy football or fantasy baseball player, from what I understand.
Yeah, the rotisserie was not maybe as kind to him as it could have been.
B- for the trade deadline.
Now, did Bowden's scale only go from A to B-? Was B- the worst?
That's a good question. I didn't look. Well, obviously, no, but I didn't look to see how many teams he actually gave horrible grades to that would have been graded worse off than the Pirates. So,
F+ is funny. My grade has actually gone continuously downward since.
We got an F from Chuck in Uniontown yesterday.
So I started at like C+ at the very outset, trying to be, I don't know, positive for some stupid reason. Downgraded it to a D by the end of the show.
Yeah.
And then with time, you know, cooler heads usually prevail, right? In a marriage, you say, don't go to bed angry. And if you do, wake up happy again. Like, you think about it, sleep on it. I actually slept on it and it got worse. I went with an F today. I have dropped them two full grade levels from where I started, Pony.
I think they made one good trade, the Hayes trade. I think they made one trade that teams make all the time, and you don't really grade them. It's really a no-lose trade. They traded Caleb Ferguson. They got Seattle's 12th prospect. If that guy hits, outstanding. If he doesn't, who cares? It was an expiring contract.
All right, so rate them individually. Rate the Hayes trade. Grade it, I mean.
B+.
Okay. I actually kind of agree with that, B+. Ferguson. Like C+?
I'm going to just say B, solid B.
Okay. Rate for me now, and you can go into more detail here, rate for me now the Bednar trade.
C-. No, D plus.
Okay. And then give me the Bailey Falter deal.
F.
Okay. Now, the other thing you have to do is deals not made, i.e. the fact that Heaney, IKF, Tommy Pham, all still members of this organization.
That's an F to me. But, well, yes, it is, but it doesn't get great. It doesn't get weighed the same way as the other ones.
I know, but it still
is not as important. It's more a commentary on how I just don't, how I think, that's a microcosm of how I just don't think Ben gets the, like, gets the assignment.
I don't even know what he thinks the assignment is.
He couldn't find takers for those guys.
I don't even know what he thinks the assignment is.
He flipped Adam Frazier for a dude who is older, but has hit the crap out of the ball at AAA. And it's like Adam Frazier was really worthless because we stink this year and he's not going to be back with us. Mm-hmm. So let me trade for this guy who's never played in the major leagues but is a great minor league hitter and see if we catch any lightning in a bottle. Great. Like, you, that's obviously, like, these are, they're not things that you build teams with, these trades. Mm-hmm. But you acquire enough lottery tickets, maybe you hit one. And they just decided with Pham and IKF to not want to do that. And I have a hard time. My baseball sensibilities tell me that it's impossible to believe that there was no market for either guy. Well, IKF plays a million positions.
And had been their best guy, not named Skeens for war, and, I think, and, still all year.
And Pham, shockingly, after I wanted him out, thrown out of town.
He's torrid.
Has been their best hitter for 2 months, and it's not just their best hitter by, like, the Pirates' meager standards, because they're the worst hitting team in the league. He's legitimately been one of the best hitters in baseball.
Tommy Pham was a negative war player for the majority of the year. He has been so good since July 1st that he is now worth almost 1.5 wins, man. Yeah. Like, he has turned into an above-average hitter for the season. Isn't that how you sell to people? Seriously. Like, in terms of, like, the trade deadline in any sport, you go to somebody and they say, well, hey, Pham wasn't very good. And say, yeah, but he's great right now. Do you want Mr. Right or do you want Mr. Right now here, Mr.
And maybe
GM?
You get some organization's 25th rated prospect
it's
back.
It's still a baseball player in return for a guy who will
Correct.
Not be a Pirate next year.
They turned 2 months of Tony Watson into O'Neill Cruz. It rarely happens. It usually doesn't. But you at least do it.
He took the, I'm not going to make a choice. I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to stand here completely still and just not move on these players. And again, what I heard was he didn't even want to deal IKF.
Ben Cherington, quote, I'm feeling really good about the things we did. How do you feel? 412-928-9370. Here is Dom in Mount Lebo. Hello, Dom.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. Real quick, a few points. I'll never forget Spanky LaValliere. I don't know if you guys ever heard this. He made the greatest comment. When they lost Bonds, Bonilla, Trebek, Van Slyk, he made the comment publicly that the Pirates are the most expensive farm team in the majors. And it was like 2 months later, I don't even know if it's 2 months, Spanky was gone. He was cut from the Pirates. So that is the culture that we have brought over to the Nuttings as far as that goes. I'm tired. You had several calls back. You had a guy say, he's not going to do anything until it hits his pocket. Everybody needs to understand, Nuttings' pocket is not getting hit whatsoever. I know for a fact, can't say how, the Pirates break even before the first fan walks through the first turnstile of the first game. Everything that is spent from day one on is profit. I've also heard, and I don't know if you guys might know this, I heard from a pretty reliable source, you want to talk about he's not going to do it until it hits his pocket. He made $40 million last year, personally. And as far as hitting his pocket, none of that, you could have zero fans show up, and he'll still make his $40 million because of all the revenue sharing. Yeah,
DK reported that he lost money last year.
But then he said today no. He was done covering the Pirates because he doesn't want to deal, among other things, with a team more concerned with finances.
Yes, that was winning. In there. Yeah.
I like a good call like that where the guy calls in and like I imagine in the Watergate case, he's making a call from a dimly lit parking garage telling us, I can't tell you how I know this Woodward and Bernstein, but I know. I mean, you do hear plenty from people around baseball about the way the revenue sharing model is I'm not going to like say true or false.
Here's
but
the DK line.
It's profitable.
All football hockey for me.
Yeah.
I'm tired of all this crap. I've got two teams in town run by people that'll do anything to compete, and I've got this other one that prioritizes finances, the business above all else.
Yeah, I mean, that's just hard to square with how he reported on the team heading into the season. It's very hard to square.
I'll see everyone in Latrobe and Cranberry.
I go back though. Whenever people like, I like that call. I hope Dom doesn't think I was like mocking him. I was just laughing at like the tone of the call a little bit. I do say this, if it was bad business owning a Major League Baseball team, businessmen who have accrued dollar values, like personal net worth in the billions, wouldn't do it. Would you agree with that very basic premise, Paul?
And let's say even if they're losing a little bit of money right now, the
franchise
payoff is
value
when you,
appreciation.
Yeah, is when you sell
period.
The team.
If it was bad business, even like it would have to be monumentally bad business on a year-to-year basis that outstripped the appreciation of the franchise's value for people to say, no, I'm not doing this.
Here is one of the queens of the PM team, Carolyn Clinton, on the Pirates trade deadline moves. Hello, Carol.
Hello, guys. Well, all I can say is this fan base is so bruised and bloodied and injured from the ineptitude of this organization to develop position players that they could have gotten Juan Soto back in a trade, and we would still be thinking they'll ruin him.
I can't disagree with that. I hate to say it.
They would say, Juan, you've shown a lot as a hitter so far, but we think we can unlock something else in you.
And they'd mess up his swing, and, you know, they'd have him standing, you know, sideways to change his stance or something.
Thank you. They absolutely, thank you, Carol. They absolutely pay for their past and previous sins.
Oh, there's a tax on them. There's a Pirates tax. She's right that, like, it sounds absurd that, like, maybe the best pure hitter in baseball or one of them in Juan Soto would come here. I dead ass serious would be like, I got a bad feeling about how they're going to mess with him up. They did it with Sawinski, who was basically like a Dave Kingman, Rob Deere light.
It was actually one of Charrington's few success stories for
a guy
while.
Who did the one thing that this franchise desperately needs. Hits the ball over the fence from the side of the plate that it's easier to do that in at PNC Park, or do that at, and said, we think we can make you even better. We want to make you more selective. Instead of see ball, hit ball, Jack, which is, should be everything that's ever said to Jack Sawinski, they put him in a blender, and now I have said this many times, he'll never be a real major league player again. He's done as a useful guy unless he's on another franchise.
Pregame is on the fan. Hello, Pregame.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
I used to go to a bar called Pregame down on the South Side.
Oh yeah,
off Carson Street though.
Hey, my thought is this: you know, I was a business owner for a lot of years, and
congratulations,
you know, at the end of the
on all
day,
your success.
Yeah, about 25 years, and at the end of the day, I wanted all the money for my children, for their children, whatever. So I'm sure nothing's doing that. But you know, my point of calling today is this: you know, why not get rid of those three that we've been saying, Pham, Haney, and whatnot, this year? Why didn't they just get rid of them and put that money for next year towards a better shithead player, basically?
Yeah, we can't say that word, but
we
get what you're saying. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Like, if I were a team going nowhere, I would save the money on those three guys, and I wouldn't care what the fans said. It makes no sense for IKF, Pham, or Heaney to play another inning for this team.
I mean, do you think that they're going to come even close to finishing the season here? I don't. Maybe IKF, for some reason, if what I'm hearing about him is true, that Charrington has this bizarre fascination with his leadership, but I think the other two aren't even going to come close to finishing
the season. The Tellez principle that was applied at the end of last year should hold for those three guys now.
I agree with that.
You're in last place. Greg Brown, who works for the team, made this exact point. He said on Tuesday with us, it makes zero sense. He said, I love Andrew Heaney. I told him the other day what a pro he is. He smiled. But then he came on the air and said, it makes zero sense for Andrew Heaney to pitch another game for us this year. Yes, he was.
Exactly right about all that.
And guess who the probable pitcher is in a few hours? Andrew Heaney.
Ben Cherington said, I look forward to Andrew Heaney pitching tomorrow. Yesterday. That's literally a thing that came out of his mouth.
So are Rockies hitters, because his ERA was 9 in July, and I can only imagine what it'll look like in Coors Field tonight.
Honestly, it's just one of the most inexplicable days engineered by a Pirates GM I've ever seen.
Can I just as far as like the ownership, like being the culprit here and getting people upset, I'm just going to say this for a second. As far as what happened yesterday, my biggest gripe is that he allowed for Ben Cherington to make these key decisions. I don't actually think, and you guys can rip me all you want for this, I don't actually think the moves they made yesterday were motivated by money. I don't.
The Hayes one seemed like a mutual parting. I don't really think stuff they did was money
motivated. I think the only one you could actually say it probably was, but like it's not a cheap thing. It's that I think they feel like they can do better than paying David Bednar $9 million a year to be their closer next year.
And they probably can, given the fungible nature of that position.
Right. Like, I don't actually look at what happened yesterday as a big salary dump by them.
Well, I think there's two separate things. People blame Bob for the broad strokes financial stuff. Fine. He's the guy who writes the checks. That makes basic sense. But they're conflating general managerial incompetence yesterday with that. They're just two different things that are both bad and both unfortunate right now that happened, I think, separately from one another. Cherington really did yesterday engineer a trade deadline that I think one of our more avid listeners who follows the sport could have done a better job of. Pony, I think you could have executed a better trade deadline. I think I could have.
I don't know what you're basing that on.
I think I could have, and my head's up my ass half the time. He took a prospect return that was objectively better for Bednar, said, we're not going to do that because of where he is developmentally, and we're going to take a universally agreed upon lesser return because we, meaning I, Ben Cherington, think it's better. Ben, where you been? Look at all your moves. You can't identify a catcher if one pops out in front of you and says, hey, I'm Johnny Bench.
Donnie, you've not really said anything to there. Is this because you're biting your lip here? You do have Bucko Talk tomorrow to get all of this off your chest.
Oh, man. Oh, and will it be electric?
It is a Carl Yastrzemski jersey.
Yes, he's going to walk into that studio like the Wild Thing Rick Vaughn in Major League. He's going to have theme music playing.
The hounds will be out.
Yeah. Has the anger from yesterday subsided yet?
I guess a little bit, but I mean, I still stand by that I think it's going to go down to the worst deadline in Pittsburgh sports history. And people can rebuttal with, well, look what they did with the Aramis Ramirez trade or the Chris Archer trade. But, okay, those individual trades are probably the worst.
Yep.
But I think the entire body of work here and what they didn't do with the easy guys to move, the veterans that are on expiring deals, this whole body of work around the deadline will make it the worst.
So the thought I had, guys, was this: Matt Morris got dealt at the trade deadline and to the Pirates, and then they assumed the salary, and that was just this huge embarrassment that was the kind of unofficial end of Dave Littlefield. But that all happened in 2007 when social media wasn't what it is now.
Yeah.
I still think the reaction yesterday would have outstripped how mad people would have been back then if there was Twitter and there was instant reaction to things. That was hideous. That really was hideous. But yesterday was like a cascading series, right?
You had trade got worse.
Yes, you had the Bednar trade started off and people were like, oh man, this is disappointing. And then we broke it down for like an hour or two or whatever. Within the last 40 minutes of the show, we get a Bailey Falter deal that had me thinking about the time they packaged Liriano to the Blue Jays and threw extra prospects in and had people on this radio station stammering trying to figure out what the hell was going on. That's what it felt like.
I don't think it'll ever get worse than the Ramirez trade because of the finance. It was purely a financial deal.
The debt ceiling was literally referenced in that.
The reason why I think Donnie and others would just have that emotional reaction to yesterday, though, is because it's just the cherry on top of the crap Sunday that Ben Cherington has made.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yep.
If it's, I think if it happens in a vacuum, if it's a first-year GM who's presiding over this trade deadline,
you're like off to a bad start, buddy.
I think people are unhappy, but I don't think they're, I know I'm not, I wouldn't be as angry.
I'd still be pretty mad. I would say this does not bode well for his future.
Same, but I would be more willing to give that guy the benefit of the doubt because he would have a clean slate.
You wouldn't have any scar tissue this from obvious. You'd say maybe this guy does know something we don't
right.
about these players.
Exactly. If he came from an organization that had like acquired players in big deadline trades and found diamonds in the rough and whatnot, I'd say, okay.
Like, if he had had some body of work that suggested, oh, there was a time when he got a player that nobody else thought he should have gotten, and the guy turned into a good baseball player.
Yeah, I'm still, like,
you'd feel
I'm
that
still
way.
Mildly annoyed, but I'm not.
No, this is the culmination of a time where the most common complaint was, why is he allowed to still be the general manager of the team?
It hasn't stopped since the deadline ended at 6. I've gotten text message and phone calls and run into people who, like, are...
Who are just flabbergasted, probably.
Not only just flabbergasted, it's like the amount of anger is unparalleled.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Well, this next guest went viral yesterday when he took a look at the Pirates' return in the David Bednar trade. Rafael Flores and Ben Cherington admitted it. This is the key guy they wanted back for Bednar, a year plus of Bednar. Relief pitchers, John Morosi said their value had never been higher at the trade deadline. And so Cherington wanted Flores today. MLB.com updated its Pirates prospect rankings. Flores is not even in the top 10. He's below the shortstop the Pirates got back from the Reds for Key Brian Hayes.
Stafora.
He's below Nick York, who the Pirates have kept at AAA all year because he's been bad. York is 8. And Flores is 11. I'm talking about Travis Sawchuk, who once upon a time wrote a book called Big Dad of Baseball, which was about the Pirates' rise from the ashes, 20 years of losing, to becoming a playoff team. for three straight years. Travis joins us now. Travis, around baseball, are teams nonplussed by what the Pirates got back for David Bednar and the rest of the deals they made?
Yeah, the Pirates are definitely going against, you know, consensus, I think, with this return. And Cherington even said as much yesterday, I believe, when he said there were higher-ranked players. And a lot of the public rankings are consensus amongst team official scouts, scouting directors, that sort of thing. So the Pirates did go against the league consensus in this return. And you could argue they shouldn't be married to consensus. And if they have a strong belief, they, you know, it's their jobs on the line, their evaluations that they really need to believe in. But going against a crowd is often risky. And I think the consensus would be, and as you mentioned, there's perhaps never been a stronger market in terms of return for relief pitchers. To not do a little better is a little perplexing.
Travis, the thing about Flores that I'm struggling to figure out is, even though the consensus is that he's not close to a guy like Eduardo Tate, who reportedly a lot of people are suggesting the Pirates absolutely could have had in a Bednar trade with the Phillies, and instead he went to the Twins, of course. I've seen people say that this Rafael Flores is big league ready, I believe he was termed, by Jeff Passan, who is usually not very complimentary of the Pirates. I've seen other people say, and the stats would more bear this out, that he's got to have like some significant time at AAA before we even see what this guy is as far as a more polished big league prospect. What have you actually heard about the specific player and where he is on his development curve?
Yeah, I think it's he is an older prospect. He's going to be 25 next season. So he needs to be close if he's not ready. But you look at he just was promoted to AAA and only 50 plate appearances, but he's batting .211. With a home run and a 27% strikeout rate. So to me, he doesn't scream like he could step in tomorrow and be an above average major league hitter. And I do think, you know, you look at the Fangraphs projection system, they have him, if he came up today, he'd be an 84 WRC plus guy, which, not to get too nerdy, but 100 is league average. So if he came up today, they project he'd be 16% worse than the average major league hitter. And that's a problem because he might not be a catcher. So there's a lot of pressure. You know, if he does have to play first base or if he spends time at DH, you really have to hit. And he's an older prospect. You know, he needs to be ready next year if he isn't today. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on the bat. And not to go too much on a tangent, but I think there's a huge risk in taking on catching prospects. We've seen it with, you know, Tony Sanchez back when I was covering the Pirates, Henry Davis, of course, a first overall pick. There is so much, the defensive, the position on the field is demanding. It puts wear and tear in the bat. And if the player is not an adept framer, handler of a pitching staff, game caller, if he can't control the running game, then there's tremendous pressure on the bat to move to a different position. So I think it's a high-risk position to bet on, and they bet on it twice in this return, which is another interesting, I think, going off on a tangent. But it's just another kind of layer to this trade that I think puts a lot more pressure on the return.
Travis Sawchek, who wrote a book about the Pirates' rise from the depths of baseball in his book Big Data Baseball, now more than 10 years ago, is joining us on the show. And Ben Cherington, the rumor that is out there, the report is from Noah Hiles, that Bailey Falter was a non-tender candidate. And that's why they traded a guy with an ERA in the high threes with years of control left, who's also left-handed, an ERA plus over 100, to the Royals for a 28-year-old relief pitcher who's made five appearances and a first baseman who was not even on the Royals' top 30 list. Travis, explain to me how that's fair return for Bailey Falter.
Oh, I can't believe he'd be a non-tender candidate. I'm not saying he is, you know, Chris Sale at his peak, but he's had a nice season. He's been a positive major league contributor in a number of seasons. Yeah, he's had an uneven career, but he's been a really nice fit at PNC Park, which is especially kind of left-handed pitchers with the deep left field. So I just can't believe he'd be a non-tender candidate. That would be head-scratching to me if that was really how the Pirates viewed him. And, yeah, I wouldn't expect a monster return, but While there's a lot of relief pitching available, the starting pitching market, this trade deadline was pretty thin. So even if a contender didn't view Falter as someone they want to, you know, start a game in a postseason series, he could still provide some quality depth through August through September. So I have to believe, there's some interest in him, maybe not by the Royals' return, but he is an interesting guy with Falter, with that great extension and, pretty good command. He's a guy who has value. So he's a guy, if there was no market for, I'd want to hold on to him because, look, even though Bubba Chandler's, close, I would think, even though they have Jared Jones coming back at some point, you still want to have pitching depth. And he's not someone who you're going to have to pay even the budget-conscious Pirates, you're not going to have to pay him a ton. So, yeah, that was a head-scratcher, even maybe more so than the return for Bednar. I mean, at least with Flores, he does, the top catching prospect in that, or first base, catching first base prospect. At least he does have big exit velocities, big raw power. You can dream on that. But there's really nothing to dream on in the Falter return.
Speaking of, returns, the Pirates didn't get any, apparently, that they liked for IKF, for Tommy Pham, for Andrew Heaney. How do you square, according to Ben Cherington, essentially, just this market not being there? I could maybe see it for Heaney. Pham is suddenly, Travis, I'm sure you know this, out of nowhere, one of the hottest hitting outfielders in baseball over the last month plus. And IKF is the kind of guy you would think contenders would want to grab because he can play a bunch of positions and give you serviceable offense. What do you make of the fact that the Pirates did not get rid of any of those three expiring deals?
Yeah, ideally you get something for all those guys. Pham has been out of nowhere on this tear. I don't really know what baseball thinks of that. If anyone is willing to see if this lightning caught in the bottle would extend into August and September. Haney, I think any pitcher who is healthy could provide something, but I'm sure I'm going to trust that the market was just not, really biting on these players. I have to believe that Pirates are doing everything they could to get some return for them in this lost season. But you look at just as a collection, this trade deadline portfolio they had, it is surprising that they weren't able to move more pieces and that in this relief pitcher market, they didn't get more for Bednar, and the Falter trade was a head scratcher. So, I thought they would return. I thought there'd be more openings down the rotation. I thought they'd be able to move more pitchers. Keller, too, is a guy, if you're trying to create financial flexibility, he is a guy who you'd think could produce some return, too. Brian Reynolds, if you're trying to, is he a guy who also should have been listened to on a longer-term contract? But just in the short-term contract guys, I am surprised they weren't able to get something in return.
Travis, you wrote a book about how the Pirates, invented new ways and came up with enterprising ideas to end 20 years of losing and make the playoffs. Do you think that could happen again here?
That run was really remarkable when you think about it. How they put that together, I stand by that. But there's so much more data that's come in the game, so many more training regimen adjustments that have come in. You think about, there was no Statcast when that book was published. There was no get the ball in the air. That the fly ball revolution had not come online yet. There's no pitch design. So the game has changed a lot. And I think those Pirates had the great advantage of, it was still very, even though Moneyball had been out a while and people were hiring analysts in the front office, there was still a lot of low-hanging fruit to pluck. And, they embraced the defensive shifts and they had
pitch framers.
When no one was, people wondered why they paid Russell Martin. They got early into the pitch framing market. So that was an example of two areas of low-hanging fruit that they plucked and benefited immensely from. And, of course, they also had Andrew McCutchen at MVP level for him, too. But I think a lot of low-hanging fruit has been plucked. So now you're going against, big-money teams with more analysts, smarter front offices that have taken all these advantages that the Rays and other smart Brewers, other smart small-market teams have, brought into the game. And it's harder to find edges. It's harder to find advantages. So I'm not saying it's not possible, but the degree of it's much harder. The degree of difficulty to find these edges in such a competitive landscape is really tough. And if you're not willing to put any money into free agency or take on any contracts and trades, it makes it even more difficult. So, you know, the clock ticking in the background is the team control over Paul Skeens. So they have to come up with some great scouting finds and great internal development, because it's a very small window of opportunity that they have to take advantage of.
Travis Sawchik covered baseball, went viral yesterday for his reaction to the Flores trade, and wrote a book, Big Data Baseball, on the Pirates when they were actually good 10 years ago. Thank you, Travis. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
Man, that last answer just had me jumping for joy. All the, like, basically all the advantages that they had, the big markets, like they often do, caught up, exceeded what the Pirates were doing, and will continue to do so. They stopped them from spending in the draft because of the Josh Bell signing bonus. They now have much bigger and better analytics departments there. That is absolutely a brains and arms race in that way.
You know what he pretty much said? He to make it, you know, kind of layman's terms-ish, he said, like, every team now has the answers to the test. So you're not going to outsmart teams.
And the teams also that spend more money on their payrolls tend to spend more money on the stuff that the Pirates have been trying to, you know what I mean? Like, be good at. And they're gonna, and there's a talent race there, too. There are better analysts.
I thought they put $20 million into analysts. They should have the best
analysts. What are the Dodgers putting in? We don't have those. Nobody knows those numbers. Didn't they fire the guy with Shelton who was putting together their, Haddad or whatever?
Yes, who was doing their in-game
planning
strategy.
And strategy, yeah.
Because Derek needed somebody to hold his hand.
Yeah, and apparently the guy holding his hand was no better at it.
Derek showed up on MLB Network today. Did you see that? Shelty.
God, he's got a
Shelty was their go-to guy, Donnie, on the trade deadline. Did you see that?
He'll crack his knuckles. He'll get a hitting coach job somewhere.
Shelty was on there waxing poetic about all these deals.
Oh, he had to be like a pig in slop seeing what his buddy BC was able to pull
his
off.
His buddy BC.
You think he sent BC a text, great deadline, Ben. I thought you killed it. Knock this one out
of
the park.
He's like, man, I'll tell you what, you really found a real hidden gem in that Ed Glean Perez.
Hey, and I think earlier in the season, we acknowledged that we thought that Charrington was worse at his job than Shelton was at his.
I've
just the fact that Shelton was like the low man on the totem pole to get fired. But
also, Derek was really, really
Derek
bad.
Was atrocious
at his
job.
I'm not going to act as if the guy was Gene Lamont here, but I mean,
Gene Lamont getting a little pop
freak show
from Donnie.
Bucks. Man, who would be two awful NFL coaches? One is huge. If Derek Shelton is Hugh Jackson,
Nathaniel Hackett and Bruce Coslett.
That's a good one.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Dollar-
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
That's Florio joining us today to break down the biggest NFL stories. Brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Fan Beer of the Month is Hitchhiker Brewing's Bane of Existence and supports Breakthrough T1D for type 1 diabetes research. All right, Mike. Micah Parsons in Dallas formally requesting a trade. There was also an Athletic report that he had a handshake deal with Jerry Jones that he went back on because his agents, like, a handshake doesn't count. I wasn't involved. Your take on what's going on with Micah Parsons after TJ Watt got paid. Uh-oh, we can't hear you on the air,
hold
Mike.
On. Need Mike potted up there, Jack.
Jack, can you do that for us here? Figure that out, if you don't mind?
Uh-oh.
He might not know.
Oh, no.
Because Donnie went down to get
We got to wave Donnie back in. Come on, Don. Come on. Need you back in there, Don. Need your expertise. Yes.
Yeah.
We're vamping here. Mike is pantomiming wow here on the video stream. Mike, it'd be a very funny bit if he started mouthing swear words that were going out with no sound attached to them. That would also
Donnie,
be a fun
Donnie, we could hear
bit.
Florio in the producer's booth, but nobody could hear him on the air. That was the issue. So I don't know if there's a way to clear that up here.
Uh-oh. Could be a real issue.
Maybe it's an actual technical problem that we need to get sorted out.
Florio just vamping, though, which I appreciate.
There we go. Okay, we got you now.
Bueller? All right, let me just say this. I need to rectify something you said.
Okay.
It wasn't The Athletic that reported that. It was NBC last night, pregame on the Hall of Fame game. It's exactly what I said. The Cowboys went to Micah. They believe they had a handshake deal. And he said, talk to my agent. And they have refused to talk to his agent, even though the collective bargaining agreement requires that. The agent is the exclusive representative of the player. And any agreement has to be reduced to writing as soon as practical. It's in the CBA. So this whole thing is strange. This is the Cowboys doing Cowboys things, and it's blown up on them. Now, we'll see, because if this wakes them up and they say to Micah, sorry, we didn't mean any of that. Here's $45 million a year. Will he say, okay, fine, I'll take it? Or will he say, it's too late. I've crossed the bridge. The die is cast. It's over. It's done. That's the next question.
He's crazy enough where he might do
that. They will. What will he do?
He's crazy enough, Mike, where he might act that way and say it's too late, just based on what I know about him.
Hey, haven't we all been in a relationship at some point in our life, professional, educational, personal, where you hit the last straw and you are just done? You're done. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. No, it's too late. No, we'll do this. We'll do that. No, I've given you every opportunity to do what you need to do, and you haven't done it. You've disrespected me, and now I am done. It will not surprise me if they throw $45 million a year at him and he says no, I want out.
Damn.
What would he fetch if they actually acquiesce then in that setting, Mike? What's like the starting price for a disgruntled Micah Parsons if the Cowboys actively start shopping him?
Two first-round picks plus. I think we go back to the Khalil Mack trade from 2018, 2019, when he was traded by the Raiders to the Bears.
Yep.
I think that would be it. Yeah. And then, see, that's the thing, because we talked about this with TJ Watt. You got to give the team what it wants, and you got to give the player what the team has yet to give him. But I think it's 45 for the player in new money average and two first-round picks, and you could get it done if the Cowboys are willing to do it. And this may be, in a roundabout way, the Cowboys' method of avoiding the risk of paying Micah and then having him miss half of a season due to injury. And I think that was what Jerry was trying to say a couple of weeks ago, when he said, we may have Micah, but we won't necessarily have him. He missed six games last year. And oh, by the way, Dak Prescott, that we paid $60 million a year to, missed two-thirds of the season. And, you know, they may be feeling a little buyer's remorse for the Dak contract, so let's not do this again with Micah. Is there any way out of this? And in a strange potential winding of the road, they may welcome the chance to flip Micah for a couple of first-round picks.
Mike, do you think there's any chance that what's behind curtain number three is possible, where he wants traded, they don't trade him. He wants a new contract, they don't give him one, and they just say, you're under contract, you're playing, buddy. Sorry. You're obligated to do so.
My prediction had been that they will drag their feet because he showed up. You lose all your leverage when you show up. because he showed up, they were going to drag their feet, and whatever the best offer they made him before week one is, he wouldn't take it, and he would just play for $24 million this year under his fifth-year option, and they do it again next year. I don't think that that may be the case now after this move he's just made. I don't know what happens. And I think what you have to ask yourself is whether or not this back tightness that has kept him from practicing, if they fail to give him what he wants, assuming that this trade request is just a way to shake things up, if they don't trade him and they don't offer him what he wants, will he play or will he cite back tightness and miss games and make $24 million a year this year but not play? That's the real question.
Well, I certainly know that in the past years, the NFLPA leadership would absolutely not tell players to fake injuries, Mike, to get what they want. Certainly not after hearing you and Pablo Torre talk about such things. Anyway, I switch over in division to another.
Wait, let me say this.
Yes.
Let me say this. You don't need to fake injuries. That's what makes what happened even more ridiculous when J.C. Treader suggested faking injuries. After you've played football for 20 years, everybody's got something they could say. Yeah, I got bone spurs. I got this. I got that. So you don't even need to fake it. You can just say, this thing I otherwise would play through, I'm not going to play through.
Mike, I know what Chris wants to get to, and I'll let him do it, but first...
Well, I was going to get to the Terry McLaurin
stuff,
yeah,
too. Well, yeah, exactly. Okay. Who do you think is the team that's most likely to make Jerry Jones an offer that's hard for him to say no to?
You'd have to look at a team that's in the window and that is willing to go all in. If you're going to give up two first-round picks, you want them to be late. I mean, Buffalo's the team that should call. Let's see if Buffalo's serious about competing with the Chiefs and the Ravens. This would be a way to do it. It's close to Harrisburg. Surely
it's
not the
close
Eagles.
To Harrisburg. Oh.
No, we
he knows Russ Tucker's
it's
favorite
not that
drive,
far from
so
Harrisburg. It's a lot closer than Dallas.
True. We both laughed though and said
it's close to Harrisburg.
Philly would be automatically the funniest possible destination that they somehow could
without question. Without question, it would be beyond hilarious if he ended up in Philadelphia.
Speaking of that division though, what do you think happens with Terry McLaurin, who is unhappy with his deal and has requested a trade?
Yeah, and this may be just another effort to shake things up and get the team to where he wants them to be. He's due to make $15.5 million this year. The market is now north of 40. The team's concern is he turns 30 this year. At what point? Stop me if you've heard this one recently. At what point does the guy who's on the wrong side of 30 start to dip? And how do you protect yourself against that? And how it didn't stop the Steelers from three fully guaranteed years for T.J. Watt on the wrong side of 30. What is Washington going to do? And from McLaurin's perspective, now is the time to strike because they got Jaden Daniels for two more years during which they can't pay him. They can't, by rule, give him a second contract until after his third regular season. This is the time for other guys to get paid. So you put all those ingredients together. I see why McLaurin's taking a stand, but the team is being stubborn. And the problem is, who else do they have? I mean, they've got Deebo Samuel, but he wasn't brought in to replace Terry McLaurin. He was brought in to complement him. Without McLaurin, what's Jaden Daniels going to do?
So how do you think that that ends up going then, Mike? How do you think that?
I think they'll work something out.
Yeah.
I think they'll find a way to get a deal done. That's what I believe.
Mike, this other, you know, my favorite thing to do in these interviews is ask you a sports business question or otherwise reference podcast appearances that you've been doing that I very much enjoyed on separate topics. But Andrew Marchand over at The Athletic, this big deal we've been hearing about that's in the works. The NFL media assets going to ESPN in this big $1 billion agreement, Red Zone going over, the NFL getting equity in ESPN, potentially worth billions as a result. Can you kind of do your best, put it in layman's terms for our listeners, what that's going to mean for the consumer if and when this thing passes all its regulatory appeals and approvals and all sorts of things like that?
Well, it's going to be a lot more NFL content under the ESPN umbrella, including NFL Network and Red Zone. It means ESPN is going to always be a broadcast partner with a package of games because the NFL isn't going to cut itself out of the loop when it comes to having a package of games. And also, for the few who care about actual journalism, and since you guys listen to Pablo Torre finds out you care, you gotta look very skeptically at anything ESPN reports now as it relates to the league, because they are in bed with the league. And the consumer needs to understand that. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. let's find out from someone else what's really going on with this issue, because you're not going to get the straight story from ESPN, or you're not likely to.
So is NFL Network done? Like, what's that mean now, Mike?
No, it just gets absorbed by ESPN. And Marshawn says they're going to beef up the programming. I mean, that thing had been a skeleton operation. They had stripped it down to nothing. ESPN's supposedly going to beef it up. Now, what does that mean? Show NFL Live? Show First Take?
Stephen A. Smith has 4 hours to play with?
How much ESPN content's going to end up there?
Right.
Well, the other thing is, Mike, too, I mean, for people that maybe still have cable, haven't cut the cord, maybe they have, isn't this all mainly in service of beefing up the offerings on this ESPN direct-to-consumer service that's going to be $30 a month, essentially? How I read it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it's a strange time in the business, because I think people are starting to realize there's a difference between cutting the cord and abandoning the consumption of cable channels. Hell, NBC reportedly, and they don't tell me these things, I don't know if it's true, reportedly is going to resurrect its own cable channel at a time when everybody's cutting the cord. Because what have we cut to? We have YouTube TV and we have all the channels anyway. We still have all the channels. So this is going to be an interesting experiment by ESPN to go direct to consumer at a time when, you know what, you still have a lot of households that are consuming your normal channels through something other than cable or satellite.
Mike, any thoughts on the Pirates trade deadline moves?
No, I don't.
Didn't you write something recently about how, like, you used to be a big Pirates fan and you're not for
football? Oh, I was a huge Pirates fan. I was a baseball fan before I was a football fan. I was all in. We Are Family, 1979. I was all in through 1992. When Sid Bream beat out that base hit,
he was
out. Somehow Barry Bonds didn't throw him out. I knew at that moment the Pirates are going to stink for a long time. I had no idea it was going to be 33 years. That was when I checked out of baseball and went all in with the NFL.
And look where it got you. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Have Sid Bream.
Yeah, it was a good
thing.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry Bonds, for not throwing out Sid Bream.
Exactly.
See you guys.
See you, Mike.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but... Scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.